This is the Daily Text for Thursday, September the 1st, 2016. Whatever happened to church discipline? Matthew 18, 15 through 18. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Consider this. Ready for another oxymoron? How about church discipline? That's what this text is all about. We most typically hear this text today when it comes to the working out of disputes and grievances between two people. First, confront the person who has wronged you in private. If they don't receive the reproof, then you get two other people to go with you. If they don't heed the counsel of the group, then it moves to a more public issue. Certainly there is wisdom here for such scenarios, but if I'm reading Matthew rightly, and I may not be, this text is not exactly about such situations. We must read a passage of Scripture in the light and context of the Scripture texts surrounding the passage. In this case, we need to remember a few verses back, we were talking about people who caused children to turn away from Jesus. Next, it moved to the gravity of sin and the thing that causes people to stumble and fall away from following Jesus. Next, we discussed the one lost sheep from the flock of 100 and the shepherd's intent to go and find that one sheep and return it to the flock. Today we're dealing with what it looks like to make that confrontation of the one who is openly sinning and falling away from the community of faith. Interestingly enough, tomorrow's text has more close application to resolving conflict between two fellow believers. This kind of dispute does not call for the kinds of legal proceedings today's text prescribes. As we will see, when it comes to our grievances with one another, the remedy is to forgive them up to 490 times, which is another way of saying forgive them to infinity and beyond. Now back to church discipline. As I read today's text, it looks far more like an intervention strategy of last resort than the garden variety conflict resolution between friends. Imagine if a member of your church has fallen into an extramarital affair with someone outside of the church. This person is a friend of yours, and you know without doubt they are committing adultery. In fact, it is rather widely known and whispered about frequently, both among the church and in the surrounding community. I should take the initiative to go and privately seek this brother out and confront him about this sin. If he or she refuses to acknowledge it or to turn away from it, I should gather two other close brothers or sisters and confront him or her again. Now we get to the hard part. We tend to consider an unthinkable solution. If he refuses to turn away from the affair after being privately confronted by the small group, the church should be brought into the picture and disassociate from them. The entire process is meant to avoid public shaming. This is a process of very hard love. The goal here is the salvation of a brother or sister. Open, persistent sin is a sure path to destruction to the person and damage to the entire community. To be honest, I find this process particularly the final step of disassociation, to be almost unfathomable in this day and age. It has me thinking, though. I think what Jesus probably finds unfathomable is the scenario where my friend's house, i.e. their life, is on fire, and I and his friends are okay, and even the church is okay with letting it burn down because it didn't seem reasonable, acceptable, or practical to intervene. The prayer. Jesus, I'm confronted here with this hypothetical situation that in fact happens all around me all the time. You're bringing me to the conviction that to stay out of it is actually a failure of love. It is a sin of omission. I want to be more like you, Jesus, to love people so deeply that I will stop at nothing to keep them in the fold. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me with that kind of love that I might be ridded of my casual indifference. For your name, Jesus, amen. The questions. Many in this day and age reason that if one church did this, the person at issue would just go down the street to another church. So what's the point of following through with it? How do you evaluate this kind of thinking in light of today's entry? Number two, can you remember a situation in the past, or even now, where you knew a brother or sister was wandering away into the snares of sin? What did you do? What would you do, or will you do, when this scenario presents itself again? And number three, what's wrong with the conventional thinking that this is a free country, and this is their business, and it's not my place to judge them, and all the other ways we excuse ourselves from redemptive intervention? For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.